Today we're in lesson 21, Ecclesiastes 11, verses 1 through 10. Let me start by asking, is life worth living? This is the question that we've had before us through this whole study. That was the question the preacher raised when he began the sermon that we call Ecclesiastes. After experimenting and investigating life under the sun, he concluded, first, life is not worth living. He gave four arguments to support his conclusion. They were the monotony of life, the vanity of wisdom, the futility of wealth, and the certainty of death. But then he didn't stop there. Being a wise man, Solomon reviewed his arguments and this time brought God into the picture starting in chapter 3. What a difference it made. Though in most cases in the discourse, it was really from still an under-the-sun perspective. In other words, it was Creator God of the here and now, but not really eternal God of past, present, and future. He realized that life was not monotonous, but filled with challenging situations from God, each in its own time and each for its own purpose. He also learned that wealth could be enjoyed and used to the glory of God. He also learned that though man's wisdom couldn't explain everything, it was better to follow God's wisdom than to practice man's folly. As for the certainty of death, there's no way to escape it, and it ought to motivate us to enjoy life now and make the most of the opportunities God gives us. Now, Solomon is ready for his conclusion and personal application. He presents again four pictures now of life and then attaches to each picture a practical admonition for his listeners to heed. We'll look at the first two pictures today. So let's begin by reading verses 1 through 6. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a serving to 7 and also to 8, for you do not know what evil will be on the earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. As you do not know what is the way of the wind, or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything. In the morning sow your seed, and in the evening do not withhold your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. In these verses, the picture he has put before us is this. Life is not monotonous. Rather, it's an adventure that is anything but predictable or tedious. But we must live by faith. Solomon uses two activities to illustrate his point. The merchant sending out his ships in verses 1 and 2, and the farmer sowing his seed in verses 3 through 6. In both activities, much faith is required because neither the merchant nor the farmer can control the circumstances. Life has a certain amount of risk to it, and that's where faith comes in. But don't sit around waiting for ideal circumstances, verse 4. The wind is never right for the sower, and the clouds are never right for the reaper. If you're looking for an excuse for doing nothing, you'll find one. Just as nobody knows the way of the wind, verse 5, and you could even see what Jesus has to say about this, that kind of parallels it in John 3, verse 8, or how the fetus is formed in the womb. That might make you think of Psalm 139. So nobody knows of the works of God in his creation. But Solomon has already established that God has a time and a purpose for everything. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. And we must live by faith in his word. Therefore, use each day wisely. Verse 6. Get up early and sow your seed and work hard until evening. Do the job at hand and redeem the time that Ephesians 5 verses 15 and 7 through 17 tell us to do. Trusting God to bless at least some of the tasks that you've accomplished. Life is an adventure of faith, and each of us is like a merchant, investing today in that which will pay dividends tomorrow. Next, he gives us the picture that life is a gift. Enjoy it. This is verses 7 through chapter 12, verse 8. So we're going to cover this in two lessons. So right now, let's look at chapter 11, verses 7 through 10. He says, "Truly the light is sweet, and it's pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. All that is vanity. All that is coming is vanity." I'm sorry. After repeatedly arguing from the premise expressed by the phrase under the sun, the preacher now gives us a last glance recognizing this thought before coming to his final conclusion. The sun gives light, but the under the sun premise seemed to bring the preacher and us sometimes into days of darkness, and those dark days will be many. Thus, he considers that to be vanity. But then Solomon says in verse 9, "Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment." Here we see Solomon exhorts young people to watch their hearts and their eyes, because either one of them or both of them can lead you into sin. Again, we can think of Proverbs 4, verse 23, "Keep your heart with all diligence." But even what Jesus said in Matthew 5, 29 is applicable. "If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell." He says, walk in the ways of your heart. Well, this is not an encouragement to go on a youthful fling and satisfy the sinful desires within. It's a reminder for young people to enjoy the special pleasures that belong to youth and can never be experienced again in quite the same way. Here we have the sixth and final admonition to accept life as a gift and learn to enjoy all that God shares with us. Solomon's warning is evidence that he doesn't have sinful pleasures in mind, for he says, God will bring you into judgment. Here is the antidote or the antithesis of the under-the-sun premise. Life is lived not only for this life, but also for eternity, knowing that good will be rewarded and evil will be condemned perfectly by the God who will bring you into judgment. Literally, Solomon spoke of the judgment, referring to, you know, our accountability before God. The young person who enjoys life in the will of God will have nothing to worry about. How do we best accept life as a gift and enjoy what God gives us? Well, by obeying three instructions that he gives here. First, he says, rejoice. What a joy it is to anticipate each new day and accept it as a fresh gift from God. Then he says in verse 10, therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. The second instruction, you know, we have first, rejoice. Secondly, remove. Young people must put anxiety out of their hearts. And you can check out Matthew 6, verses 24 through 34. Jesus has much to say about anxiety in the heart. And they are to remove the evil way from their flesh. Well, check out what Paul has to say in 2 Corinthians 7:1. The word translated sorrow here can mean vexation, inner pain, and anxiety. So if we're living in the will of God, we will have the peace of God in our hearts. The phrase childhood and youth are vanity doesn't mean that these stages in life are unimportant and a waste of time. It's really the opposite that's true. The best way to be a happy and have a happy adult life and a contented old age is to get a good start, you know, an early start in life with God, and avoid the things that will bring trouble later on. Childhood and youth are vanity because they go quickly. That's the sense that it's being used here. In Hebrew, the word for youth, and this is really neat, means dawning. Youth is indeed the time of dawning. And before we know it, the sun will start to set. As we conclude today's lesson, I exhort any young person listening to make the most of your dawning years and of life in God's will. Well, in tomorrow's lesson, we'll see the third instruction necessary to enjoy what God has given us in this life. The study notes for this lesson can be found in naomistable.com.